morning. Happy Mother's Day. We are so happy you've joined us to celebrate Mother's Day today. And we are sad a little bit that we can't present you with a gift as we normally do on Mother's Day. But to all the moms out there, we hope you know how loved and treasured you are. And we also hope and pray that if you still have your mom, you're able to do something to express your love to her today. And if you don't, you can still talk about her and the impact she made on your life and treasure her memory. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. Thanks for joining us today. So we're going to continue our message series we started last week on what now? What now? I'm really excited to share this week's message with you because I know in my heart that God brought it to us for this day and this hour. And I'm calling today's message, Displace the Fear. But I think I want to pray first today before we begin. So if you would just bow your heads or not, no one's going to see. God, I thank you that you are so good at speaking to us and that you care about every day of our lives, every moment of our lives. And so I pray that you would help me to accurately communicate what I believe you are telling us today. Help me to do a good job of communicating with the people that you love and that I love. And so I pray that you would just go before me and behind me and all around me as I speak today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, the title of the message, as I said, Displace the Fear. Displace the Fear. I feel like as I was preparing and praying and asking God, what should I speak on today? I felt like he highlighted how much fear there is. I saw it everywhere I looked, everywhere. Well, the one place I went to the grocery store, I just kept seeing fear. And I thought, what are we afraid of? And I think there are some of us who are afraid of sickness and death. And I think especially in this season that we're in, we're not only afraid of sickness and death, but we're afraid of going through sickness and death alone. There is, that's a scary component, to be alone, to be suffering alone, to possibly lose your life alone. And so that's one fear. Another fear I saw was the fear of economic instability at best, at worst, economic failure. It's a real fear. What do we do if our accounts are emptied and our jobs are gone and businesses aren't thriving? They're crumbling. What do we do? It's a fear. And then the other fear I felt I saw was fear of loss of freedoms. That maybe some of us are afraid that our government is just getting so big and it feels like we're losing freedoms. The freedom to gather as a church. The freedom to go where we want to go, where we feel is safe to go. So I feel like there's just fear, fear everywhere. Everywhere is fear. And so I think the first thing I want to communicate in my heart is that fear is real. Fear is normal, and there are some valid reasons for fear. It's to be expected, even in daily living, much less in a climate that we're living in right now. The problem with fear is that it sends us into flight or fight mode. It sends us into flight or fight mode. And if you go into flight mode, that causes divisions because you want to only gather with people who have the same fears as you. And it just creates a sense of division, us and them, us and them. If you go into fight mode, that's not much better because it causes anger and it causes us to attack those who don't have the same fears as us. We just go into attack mode. These are normal responses to fear that were created inside of us as a means of survival. But the problem with that is it's not God's best long term, because we end up minimizing the fears of others and we stay in this long term, extended, I should say, fight or flight mode that causes division and anger and attacking. In fear, I think too, I've been noticing recently that fear drowns out voices of reason. And we need voices of reason in this climate. We need voices of reason. I studied this week about a pretty well-known neuroscientist. Her name is Dr. Wendy Suzuki. And she has done extensive research on the long-term effects of staying in a state of fear. And here's what she found. Medically, scientifically, she found that when we stay in a mode of fear, that it literally physically shrinks part of our brain called the hippocampus. The hippocampus. And the hippocampus is where our long-term memory is stored. And it's also where our ability to imagine a good future is stored. So when our hippocampus shrinks, you see, it basically zaps our memory and our creativity. We don't want to live that way. But I found it amazing because as I was studying her work, I noticed that she had this amazing quote in there. And I don't need science to prove what God says, but I always enjoy it when science discovers what God has said for a long time. And this quote just confirms that in my heart and in my mind. She said this, "The question we often ask ourselves is, how do we get rid of these negative thoughts?" Listen to this. "The antidote," she says, "is love conditioning." Love conditioning. We know that the same circuitry that is so powerful in creating negative associations, the fear conditioning, also exists for love conditioning. Isn't that what God said, like, I don't know, a couple thousand years ago, when he said perfect love removes all fear? She says, if you want to deal with fear conditioning that causes you to go into flight or fight mode, change it by going into love conditioning. I love that. So how do we do love conditioning? I have 3 points I want to share with you that are the first three that I came up with from scripture that I think they'll be easy to remember for us. The first point, if you want to go into love conditioning while we're in this mode of what now, love conditioning is a great thing to do in what now. Great thing. The first step, I believe, in love conditioning, this is not from Dr. Suzuki, this is from the Word, is remember who God is. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40, probably my favorite Old Testament prophet, although I don't know, I have so many, but he's one of my favorites. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 11, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Isaiah 40, verses 9 through 11, remember who God is. That's the first step of love conditioning. Remember who God is. Listen to the description of God in this very short passage. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Did you hear that? Shout is three times. But it's not shouting in anger at someone who disagrees with you. It's shouting good news. Here's what we're to shout. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Your God is coming. Now listen to how it describes who God is. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. The sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Remember who God is. In this very short passage, we see God is a God of power. Nothing is greater than him. Nothing is more powerful than God. But I love also that we see a God who brings reward when he comes. He's not an angry, powerful God. He is a good, powerful God. And I love the tenderness that we see in God when it says he will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. Remember who God is. He is powerful. He brings rewards. He holds you close to his heart. And it even goes so far as to say he will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Happy Mother's Day. God is leading moms, everyone, moms though, with their young. I love that. Remember who God is. The second step in love conditioning is found in Isaiah 43 this time. Isaiah 43, so just scooch on over a few chapters to Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. It says this, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you." So the second step in love conditioning before we read, remember whose you are. Listen to what it says about whose you are in this passage. "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid. I have ransomed you. I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Remember whose you are. You belong to the God that we just remembered. Remember who God is. Now remember whose you are. You are his. You belong to a God who is powerful, who brings rewards, who holds you close to his heart, and even takes the time to guide the mother sheep with her young. Moving on, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." Remember whose you are. You are his. Being his, he's not going to abandon us. He is not going to leave us. He is with us no matter what we're going through. Moving on down to verses 5 and 7, it says this, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from the east and the west. I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them." Remember who God is. Remember whose you are. That is love conditioning. When you remember who God is and that he calls you out and calls you his own, he calls you his son or daughter, he will never leave you. That shows us what love conditioning looks like. This week, as I was thinking about this and praying about it, it occurred to me that when I can learn to sleep on the rock, God, the rock, when I can learn to sleep on a rock, the rock, I can sleep through any storm. I can sleep through any circumstance. I can sleep through any situation. Love conditioning. Point three in love conditioning, ask God to show you his love. At first, I had the third point as being ask God to fill you with his love, and I felt corrected almost in my heart. Like, no, God has already filled you with his love. He has surrounded you with his love. Sometimes we just don't see it. Sometimes we just don't notice it. So ask God to show you his love. Now we're moving over to the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, that's towards the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to look at what it says about God's love. If we're going to ask God to show us his love, we need to know what to expect it to look like. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, it says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with a confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. I believe that much of the fear we experience is because we don't remember who God is. We don't remember whose we are. And we don't frequently enough notice God's love at work in our lives, either from someone else showing us love, from God doing something small or large on our behalf. We just don't notice God's love. And so therefore, we have this fear that we don't understand. And I believe it's God's plan for us to displace all that fear with his love. With his love. Perfect love removes all fear. There is a really smart guy a long time ago, about 2,200 years ago, named Archimedes. You might have heard of him. You might not have. Archimedes. His name is kind of fun to say. Archimedes. I don't know why. But he made many discoveries and inventions. And one of the things he discovered was that the greater the weight of an object, the greater will be the amount of liquid or fluid that it displaces. Let me say that again. The greater the weight of an object, an object weighs, the greater the weight, the greater the amount of the fluid it displaces. So I want you to imagine with me, here is some fear, a cup of fear, okay? How do we deal with this cup of fear? We let God's love displace it. Now watch this. I have some rocks here. Beautiful rocks. Do you see them? Blue. Watch what happens to the water when we pour the rocks in. Yep. Look at that. Most of the water has been displaced. You see that? Because the rocks have displaced all of the fear. The rocks are God's love. God's love has the ability to displace every bit of our fear. Now, there's a little bit of water left in between all the rocks here. There's a little bit, not much. Most of it has been displaced. But if I put this out in the sun for a while, all of it would be displaced. All of it. Because the rocks hold a lot of weight. God's love holds so much weight if we let it in our lives, if we let it. The problem is, this is what we often do. Here's another cup of fear. Instead of putting God's love in it, you know what we do? We try to substitute God's love with other lesser things, other less weighty things. They're pretty. Can you see those? They're pretty. But look what happens when we pour these in. All of the water is still in there. There's some pretty things floating on top. Most of the pretty things flew around me. Ask God to show you His love, and then let His love displace the fear. Not shopping, not screaming, not hiding. Let His love displace the fear. This is what we need in this hour. This is what we need. Not ornaments, not beautiful little shiny things to try to displace fear. No, we need God's love to displace the fear. So here's what I believe with all of my heart. If you are struggling with fear of sickness or death, especially being alone in sickness or death, let His love displace the fear. And I believe God will call you to be a person who reaches out and shows care to others through praying for them, through showing them you are not alone. You see, you're getting attacked in the very area that God wants to give you influence in. And so let His love displace the fear so you can rise up in this hour and be who God called you to be, a voice to minister to people who are in their fear also of being alone in sickness or death. Maybe your fear isn't that so much. Maybe your fear is economic instability or failure. If that's you, let His love displace the fear. And then I believe He is going to give you creative solutions. If you have a business, for your business. If not, I believe He will give you creative solutions for businesses around you. And He is going to help you to be an influencer in the area of business. Maybe that's not your fear either. Maybe you have a fear of the government taking away freedoms that you hold very dear. If that's you, let His love displace those fears. And I believe He may call you at the very least to become a voice of reason to bring some of these concerns up so that we can vote well, so that we can contact our representatives, so that we can, maybe some of you will be called to run for political office. You see, the area where you're getting attacked with fear may be the area that God wants you to be an influencer in that area. But here's the tricky part. As long as you're living from this place, your voice is drowned out by fear and anger. So you lose influence. And God doesn't want you to lose influence. Come from that place where His love is the motivating force behind everything you say and do. And then you will be a voice of reason that our world desperately needs. So for love conditioning this week, here's your homework. The kids are all going, yes, finally the adults have some homework because we've had homework all along. Here's your homework. Kids, it can be your homework too. Number one, remember who God is. Number two, remember whose you are. Number three, ask God to show you his love. As you do that, talk about what you see that is his love. Either at dinner, when you're with your family, or at night, if you're alone, whatever the case may be, have a scheduled time where you reflect, either in writing or in the spoken word or whatever, on ways you have seen God's love that day, and watch how filled up you get with God's love and how much fear it displaces. Now, as I've gotten older, my hair has gotten drier, and so I need conditioning, but I need extra conditioning. So if you are struggling with fear a lot and you need some extra love conditioning, here's what I want to suggest to you. Not only do you remember who God is and remember whose you are and ask God to show you his love, every time you feel angry, ask God to show you specifically what fear is at the root of that anger. Because the moment you identify it, he can deal with it. And so if you need extra conditioning, that's what I recommend. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your great, great love for us that displaces all fear. I thank you that when we can learn to sleep on the rock, that is you, that we can sleep through any storm, that fear will not have its grip on us, that we will be able to rise up in this world and do what you've called us to do, whether it's pray for people to be healed, reach out and care for people who are afraid, whether it's have business ideas or contribute to local businesses around, or whether it's have a political influence that is healthy, that is a voice of reason. God, we want to do that, but we want to do it from the right place, the place of love. So I pray that you would help us to go into deep love conditioning this week, that we will go into deep love conditioning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you have your communion elements handy, your bread and your juice or whatever the case may be. I want to pray over the bread first. Actually, we just prayed. I think I just want to look at the bread and I want God to show us how much he loves us, that Jesus would be willing to give his body to be broken so that we could be healed. Thank you, God, for this bread and the love it represents. Let's take the bread together. The juice? See how much God loves us? See that he shed his own blood so that we could have our sins forgiven and enjoy unhindered relationship, that we could have intimacy with him, that he could carry us in his arms close to his heart, and we know it. What a gift. Thank you, God, for the juice that represents the total forgiveness of sins and the restoration of right relationship. Let's drink the juice together. Thank you again for joining us today. I pray that you have a blessed day. For those of you who are normally used to going to family chat after service, we have no family chat today. We wanted to make extra time for you to spend time either with your mom or reaching out to your mom in some way to shower her with your love. And if you end up writing a thank you note to your mom who is no longer with you, maybe you could just ask God, could you share this with my mom? Because I want her to know how much I love her today and how thankful I am for her. So if you have a little time and you want to do that, it might be a beautiful thing to do as well. We do have prayer at noon tomorrow, so hope you're able to join us for that. It's a great time as always. And next week we will continue our series on What Now? So hope you're able to join us. It's going to be another great week next week. And thank you. I love you from my heart. And I'm so grateful for your ongoing faithfulness. I hope you were able to notice the email this past week that we sent out and the ways that we bless our Community Hunger Center. Amazing. Amazing. $1,700 approximately in cash and checks and gift cards, as well as a pile of groceries. So we've been a major blessing to them, and I'm just thankful we were able to partner with them for the good work they do. So thank you. You guys rock. Have a great day. Love you.